Please be seated, friends.
Well, good evening. It's great to see you. Lincoln North is just such a special place. There's no two ways about it. I feel I need to start this evening just by saying how privileged I felt when I was asked to come and share a few words this evening. And then I realized I was the sixth person to be asked. The other five had declined politely. So I'm afraid, you know, you're getting conference league stuff here. But it's great to be with you. It's great to be back here. Great to see so many friendly faces and some I don't know. But wonderful. For those of you that don't know, I'm Ian, and I worked with Mark here in Lincoln North Circuit for 7 happy years, and until we left a couple of years ago. During that time, Mark played a key role in the formation of my ministry. It really was a blessing to work alongside him. We've spent many hours praying together. We've had a lot of adventures together, haven't we, Mark? In many different ways, in different countries. And you and Carolyn have both become very dear to Becky and me. Well, perhaps less so Carolyn, but but generally together we can handle them. One of the pleasures we used to enjoy was every Sunday evening after we'd finished our various preaching appointments, Mark and Carolyn would come to our manse and we would share a glass of wine together, some extravagant nibbles and absolute inane conversation, just as an opportunity to unwind on a Sunday. And they were such precious times to us. We shared a lot of laughter together. So here I am, preaching at Mark and Carolyn's farewell service. What can I say about Mark and Carolyn? Well, let's have a slide, first of all. There we are. I'm sure the similarities haven't escaped many of you. I am aware Carolyn's very particular about photographs and which ones we choose. So can we just scroll through to the next one? Oh, there we are. There's Carolyn in Kenya. We'll keep going. One more. There we go. And any more? Oh, there's Mark. Lovely. And again? Oh. I say, I didn't know that was allowed. What's the next one? Oh, good. There's a theme running here. And the next one? Oh, look, you see. And maybe one more. Oh, you see, the face of ministry. And one final one. There we go. Look at that. It makes you wonder what the Methodist Church is playing at, doesn't it, really? To think that they're going to commission this pair to send them out to another country on their behalf. I thought it was bad enough when I discovered they'd made Mark superintendent of the circuit. But this is what Guyana have got to expect. But what an affirmation it is that they are commissioned to this new role. A commissioning that says a lot. Because Mark and Carolyn will go to Guyana and they will serve there as they have served here, with a genuine sense of God's calling upon their lives, committed to working to nothing else but his glory. And I want us to spend a few moments just thinking why. Why would they do that? Why would they put themselves through this? Why would they make themselves homeless for a while? Why would they go through another training package? Why would they move away from the comfort of a place like Nettleham to the challenges that may lie in store in Guyana? So let's just think along those lines for a moment. Well, I wonder if any of the parents here have ever lost a child, had a child go missing for a period of time. This happened to us once. A few years ago, we were in France on holiday, and I think our children were about 2 and 4 at the time. And we'd been to a theme park where there were lots of slides and pools and merry-go-rounds, all sorts of interesting things. And I remember I'd taken Sam, he was about four, and there was this huge slide going down into a swimming pool, and he decided that was for him. So we walked up the steps to the top of this slide, and there was a sign at the top that said, you know, strictly over sevens only on this slide. Now, anybody who's been to France knows that a rule is not a rule without an exception. And certainly, the bronzed teenage lad who was in charge of this slide really didn't care about the age of my son. That was the least of his worries. He had two things on his mind. The first thing was clearly girls, because every young female that came past, he would give them the old shrug and the, bonjour. Bonjour. And the second thing was he was intent on making sure that we adhered to the strict rule about swimwear. And for some reason in France, you are not allowed, as a gentleman, to wear swim shorts. You have to wear proper trunks. And this is outrageous. And I'm sure that they have this rule for short, fat, hairy, white people like me, okay? So as I'm walking there, you know, like this, I think they call them budgie smugglers, okay? I'm walking up the steps, and so he's more interested in checking I've got the same swimwear, never mind the fact I'm about to throw my four-year-old son down this very dangerous slide, which we did, and it was fantastic. Anyway, so we're on our way home. It got very busy later on in the afternoon. On our way home in the park, we decided to leave, and we got separated a bit in a crowd, and we came out the other side, and Becky said, Ian, where's Emily? I thought you had her, and we'd lost her. And if you've ever experienced this, you will know what it feels like. Your heart just stops for a second and your whole world comes crashing in, caving in around you. You're thinking, where is she? And all sorts of pictures and things go through your mind. You think, what do we do? And at this point, we just threw our British reserve out the window and we were crying out for Emily, where are you, Emily? And we're looking around. We couldn't see her anywhere. And it seemed we were searching for hours, but it can only have been 5 minutes. And then eventually, there she was. She decided to have another go on the merry-go-round. So as we're frantically searching, she's in this little car just waving to everybody. She goes, and I'm so pleased that we had to wait for the ride to stop before we collected her, because that just gave me time to collect a breath. And we were able to collect her, and all was well. But what an experience. And I wonder if you've ever gone through an experience like that. It's not uncommon. I believe even our Prime Minister did that very recently. left his daughter in a pub, of all places. One of our favourite movies we like to watch at home is the film Home Alone. A great film. Wonderful story of a family that go away on holiday over Christmas. And, you know, it starts with the family on the plane. And the wife's there. I love this. They're sitting in first class. All the kids are back in economy class. And they're saying, oh, did we do something? Did I turn the oven off? Did I forget to do? Oh, what was it? And then she remembers, Kevin, their youngest son. She'd left him at home. And so the rest of the movie is about them, sort of him surviving home life without them and doing very well, even with burglars trying to break into the house. But it's also about the efforts of the mother. She stops at nothing to get back to her son. She even spends a night in the back of a lorry with a polka band. That's how desperate she is. She'll do anything to get there, to be back united with him. I'd like to read to you a short story from the Bible. And this story is one that Jesus told. It's one of his parables, a story that highlights for us a profound truth. And it's one that deals with how important things are. And particularly things that can be lost, and how much rejoicing there can be when they're found. So I'd like to read to you from Luke chapter 15. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep, says Jesus, and one of them goes missing. What do you do in that position as the shepherd? Do you count your losses? Do you think, well, I've still got 99. You know, it's one sheep of 100. At least I can keep my eye on these 99 and make sure that the same doesn't happen to them. Or do you leave that 99 potentially vulnerable whilst you go in search of the one that's gone astray? Well, what if Becky and I had taken the former approach when Emily went missing? What if we got together in that car park and said, well, actually, there's 75% of our family here at the moment, you know, let's just stick together like this, and I'm sure Emily will be fine in life, and we'll leave her to her own devices. Some days, I wish, you know, but not every day. What would that say about our parenting? Well, there's a wonderful verse in the Old Testament, I'm sure many have read this several times, which describes us, really. It says, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Bible often refers to us as sheep. I once heard a shepherd talking about his work. It was fascinating. And he described with great compassion, I guess, and great excitement about his work with the sheep. And he really did have a pastoral heart for those sheep under his care. But he also spoke openly of their stubbornness. He spoke of the fact that they follow one another even when the sheep are clearly going in the wrong direction. He spoke of their inability to learn from their own mistakes. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the interesting thing about this parable of Jesus is that he shared this parable as a response to criticism about who he was hanging around with. The religious people of the day wanted to know why Jesus was spending time with tax collectors and sinners, when if he was who he claimed to be, he should be spending time with upright folk. But what did Jesus come to teach us if he did not come to share that God's love knows no boundaries? It's a love that's perfectly demonstrated in his death and his resurrection. That upon him, as we've just sung, was laid our shame and our guilt. So that by accepting his sacrifice for us, we can enter into that relationship with a loving shepherd. God stops at nothing to rescue his sheep. And look what happens in that story when the sheep is found. The shepherd joyfully picks the sheep up, puts it on his shoulders, and carries it home. And then he calls a party together and says, rejoice with me because I've found the lost sheep. He joyfully takes the sheep home. There's no finger wagging. There's no where have you been. There's no punishment involved. It's a process of complete compassion and grace. The picking up and the placing on the shoulders, and the carrying home of the lost sheep. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. Mark and Carolyn have a profound understanding of this whole lost and found business. They know what it is to walk on the shoulders of the shepherd. And as a result, their raison d'etre, their selfless desire, their God-given call is to seek out and minister to those who have gone astray. I remember once Mark and Carolyn were we went away for a week in the autumn months to France. And we were sitting in this small marketplace having a cup of tea. I believe there's a picture. There we are. So Carolyn obviously took that one. That's unusual. We're sitting in this small marketplace having a cup of tea when along came this homeless chap, this French homeless guy. And he started chatting to us, asking for money. And we chatted to him. We offered to buy him some food. He sat down with us and we shared with him. And as we were chatting away, I could see Mark was getting agitated and fidgety. I thought, here we go. And before long, this chap was on his knees in the middle of that marketplace as Mark laid his hands on him and prayed for him. Prayed for him to be released from whatever it was holding him. Prayed for him to know the peace of God. Prayed for him to know the freedom of God. And that's Mark on holiday. Can you imagine what it's like actually working with this man? God has placed a burden on their hearts. In fact, he's broken their hearts for those who, like sheep, have gone astray. And let's not deny the fact, as we've already heard this evening, that can make life very difficult for everyone else around them. Because Mark is unswerving in his dedication to his calling. His ministry here in Lincoln has had a clear direction from day one. And I'm sure that at some point, most of you in this room have found him to be an absolute pain in the backside. And that's because I'm pretty sure if we were able to see inside Mark's mind at this moment, we would see a very simple filing system. Okay? There's an inbox, and it says, things which build the kingdom of God. There's a waste paper basket that says other stuff, otherwise labelled Muppetry. And there's a tiny little box in the middle labelled Microsoft Flight Simulator. That's a... And you may have heard one of Mark's favourite phrases, which is moving swiftly on. Now, I heard him use this in Kenya when we were there. He was most upset that we were on our way to a prayer meeting and they were too busy with all the formalities of welcoming us. And Mark had thought, no, I've come here to pray. Moving swiftly on, let's get going. I've heard him use it in local preachers' meetings. I've heard him use it at circuit meeting. And when I first heard it, I honestly thought he was being rude. And then I realized he was. It's Mark's way of ensuring that he doesn't get sidetracked by irrelevant activity. Why? When we could be out encouraging others to search out and minister to those who, like sheep, have gone astray. Now, I'm sure that there are many people here today who would be prepared to stand up and testify to the impact that their ministry has had upon your life. That for many people here today, your walk with God will have started through their ministry. Your walk with God will have grown through their ministry. Your walk with God will have been challenged through their ministry. Your walk with God will have led you to places that you would have not found yourself going to beforehand because of their ministry and encouragement to you. Their 10 years here leaves behind it an eternal legacy, and we thank God for that. So thinking back to that story that Jesus told, the lost sheep, I wonder where you place yourself. Where are you with God? Do you recognize that moment in your own life of being picked up by the shepherd, placed on his shoulders and carried home? Carried into a liberating relationship with him by humbling yourself before him, accepting what Jesus Christ has done for us and allowing him to joyfully take you into his own. The Good Shepherd searches for lost sheep. He longs to be reunited with those who have gone astray, not to punish or to be angry with them, but to rejoice in them being found. So if that's you, if you've yet to experience that in your own life, then maybe today is your opportunity to open your heart, to humble yourself before God, and to allow Him to pick you up and carry you. And once you've been placed on the shoulders of the Good Shepherd, then it's for you to consider how you might follow the example of Mark and Carolyn. How you might honour their ministry amongst you by considering how you share the inexhaustible love of God with your children, with your friends, with your neighbours, with your colleagues, with strangers. Each one loved by God. So Mark and Carolyn, I think I speak for us all when we say thank you, God, for your ministry, a powerful ministry in so many ways. Thank you for your witness in this place, your faithful witness. Thank you for your dedication to the gospel of Christ, for your fun, fellowship, your friendship, and your love. And we pray that as you have been both a blessing and have been blessed here, that the same will lie ahead of you in Guyana. Amen.